Welcome in a Thursday night edition of Overtime with the youngest in charge and L. Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. If you want to keep the convo rolling off air, it is at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Same handle on each and every social media platform. We're going to talk a lot of basketball tonight. Obviously, we have probably the most highly anticipated summer league debut since John Wall happening tonight, as AJ DeBanza and the Wizards going to tip off their Vegas schedule. No big deal. Just happens to be going against the team that had the number two overall pick in the Utah Jazz. There are going to be fireworks tonight. And there are going to be some pundits, and I haven't gotten the chance to listen to any of the other shows. I just know all of my colleagues can't stop tweeting about Brandon Ayuk. I do know this, though. Anybody out there that tries to tell you that tonight's result between the Wizards and the Jazz doesn't matter, anyone that tries to underscore the significance, the importance level of this summer league game, you're crazy. Or you just have no competitive juices at all. AJ DeBanza told us throughout the entirety of this pre-draft process how important it is to be one. One, being the guy. Which is why it was so important for him to get drafted 1-1 overall. Now, this is the beautiful thing about pro sports, man. This is the beautiful thing about pro sports. We can talk and chirp and yap all we want, but at some point, you got to face the music. At some point, you got to shake a leg or lose one, as I like to say. And tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Wizards, Jazz, out in Vegas. Let's call it what it is. It's Derek Peterson versus AJ DeBanza. And no pressure to our number one overall pick, but I don't want to exaggerate it. Derek Peterson has looked like the second coming of Kobe Bryant throughout the first couple of games of Summer League. Effortless scorer. Effortless. So yes, tonight is important. Yes, tonight does matter. And don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. Because I was old enough to remember when folks came in ripping hair out over Johnny Davis's terrible ass summer league performance. I'm also old enough to remember, and this is where you kind of play devil's advocate here, right? I'm also old enough to remember Alex Saar going scoreless in a summer league game. And let's just say he turned out to be okay. I'm excited for Wizards and Jazz tonight. And I know whether they'll admit it or not, Derek Peterson and AJ DeBanza equally as excited for tonight's contest, for the opportunity to go up against one another, man. I'm geeked up to see it. We're going to talk about the other guys that matter, right? Because it feels like this is the DeBanza versus Peterson Invitational. Despite my opening salvo here, it's not just that. There are other guys that matter, including last year's top 10 pick for the Washington Wizards, Trey Johnson. I am out of, if it's not DeBanza, Trey Johnson to me, second on the list in terms of who I'm most excited to see here tonight when it comes to the Washington Wizards. We'll get you a full-scale preview of the Wizards. Look at that. That's how you know we're absolute sickos. I'm talking about giving your ass a preview of a summer league game. That's what you got to do when you have the number one pick donning the red, white, and blue. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour right ahead of tip-off. We'll get you a preview of Wizards and Jazz out at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. I always say this, and this is where I'm going to story tell for a little bit. I'm annoyed. Maybe annoyed is the wrong word. I'm disappointed. I told myself this time last year, I will not miss another Las Vegas Summer League. And guess who's not out getting burnt up by the sun right now? Me. Instead, I walked from my car out here in Southern Maryland. First of all, anybody listening out there, out in Southern Maryland, whatever the hell we just had happen, whatever our Lord and Savior just released from the higher ups in the sky, the torrential downpour that we just got, if you're out there in it, God bless you. Get there safely. Hopefully, I help you do so. I'm sitting here currently, socks wet, pants wet, draws wet. I'm going to just leave it at that. Let's do this. Like I said, we'll talk a lot of basketball. In the 8 o'clock hour, we will get you a full-scale preview of Wizards and Jazz. I also want to talk about the WNBA because, oh boy, is there a pretty groundbreaking story that's going on right now in the WNBA. We'll talk about that. But first, let's start here. Let's start with the elephant in the room. And I was about to try to make an elephant noise. I spared you all. Do I sound like an elephant, boys? No? No elephant sound. You didn't. You're not even going to. Okay. I'm going to act. No. You didn't. Did you hear mine? I know you don't have one. Of course you don't have one. You didn't hear mine. Gotcha. Thank you. 1-800-636-1067. Let's address the elephant in the room. Let's address the elephant that is in the room. I'm going to read a couple of tweets here. Just because I can. I can read. I'm Montgomery County Public School educated. I can read. So I'll read to you all. Couple of tweets. And before I read the tweets, I want to preface my comments by saying this, right? Listen, anyone listening tonight, this is probably the first and last time all show long that I am going to talk about Brandon Ayuk. I'm sick and tired of every damn second that I cut on my AM or my FM dial, it's somebody rambling on about Brandon Ayuk. Newsflash. Guys, at this point, as we sit here on July the 9th, a couple of weeks out from reporting day for training camp, who gives a rat's ass about Brandon Ayuk? Stop. Stop asking me about him. Stop tweeting at me about him. I don't care. He is totally irrelevant to the football that's happening in Ashburn, which is what I tried to say a couple of weeks ago when you all had your panties in a wad over the first couple of Instagram posts. It's totally irrelevant to the football in Ashburn. Can I repeat it again? It's Brandon Ayuk is totally irrelevant to the football that's happening in Ashburn. I, for the life of me, can't understand why there's been so much energy exhausted towards him. Even today, Jaden Daniels post a workout video. And the entire DMV used it as an opportunity to take a shot at Brandon Ayuk. Mind the business that minds your... He has nothing to do with the Commanders. Nothing. Stop sneak dissing him. Stop debug. They taught us this in Montgomery County Public Schools. Debug. Ignore him. Why? I'm tired of talking about... Please don't call in tonight asking me about Brandon Ayuk. I swear for the Lord, I am begging you. Please don't call me about Brandon Ayuk. If you want to use the number for anything else, go ahead. 1-800-636-1067. Please, I'm begging you. Don't call about Brandon Ayuk. You want to talk about the Commanders? Let's talk about the wide receiver room. Let's talk about the group. 2 weeks away from reporting for training camp, and Jaden Daniels today is out in SoCal with the fellas. Scary Terry's there. Luke McCaffrey's there. Rashad White is there. Jalen Lane is there. John Bates is there. Ben Sinnott is there. De'Ami Brown is there. That's what we should be talking about. You know why? This time on task that Washington is getting together. And when I say Washington, I mean the quarterback and the wide receiver in particular. The time on task that they are getting together. I'm laughing because the old Jeepster just shot me a text message that popped me in real time. You may hear from Grant Paulson tonight calling about Brandon Ayuk. But no, in reality, right, I am geeked up that the workout, first of all, this is, we all should be geeked up during this time of year. Whenever the workout videos get posted, whenever list season is upon us, and that's where we're at right now, inject all of it into your veins because it's all fake right now. In a couple of months, when they lose in November in heartbreaking fashion, it's going to be real. It's going to hurt. So enjoy now while it doesn't really matter, while it's all opinion-based, right? I'm excited, and you all should be as well, that Terry McLaurin's out there. This is something that, as far as we know, those two talking about Terry and Jaden, this is something they didn't get the chance to benefit from a season ago. That time on task outside of the facility, improving the connection, improving the chemistry, dare I say it, the brotherhood. You know, I love seeing it. Love seeing it. So there was a list that was put out by Benjamin Solak of ESPN. I'm sure you all have heard of it by now. He gave the breakout candidate for every player, or excuse me, for every team in the National Football League. And for the Washington Commanders, ironically enough, he chose one of the oldest players on the roster, and it ended up being the oldest player on this list in its totality. It was Terry McLaurin. And Ben Solak, I smell what you're cooking, YIC. I smell you, brother. I also believe, as I've said several different times throughout the offseason, Terry is going to have a career year this year. This offense is going to hum with Brandon Ayuk or without Brandon Ayuk. And I'll even do you another one. Here, wait for this one. With Stephon Diggs or without Stephon Diggs. You smell me? You pick up what I put down here? I have said it since I first laid eyes on the group in the spring for OTAs. They don't need another wide receiver. They don't. Would it be nice to have? Sure. Right? Like, I don't need a bigger television. I got like a 36-inch. Some people are about to start roasting me because of the size of my television. Relax. Unless you're Venmoing me, Apple Pay, Cash App, etc. Shut the hell up and leave me and my little 36-inch alone. That 36 is going to have Darren Peterson and AJ DeBanta on it tonight. But no, like, I don't need another television, right? But my viewing experience watching sports would be a hell of a lot better with it. The Commanders don't need another wide receiver, but the offense would be a hell of a lot better with one. I don't think there's any doubting that, any denying that at all. As I've said all offseason, I'll reiterate it here again. This isn't me simping for the evaluator, but we're at the mercy of him. I know the phrase, right? Adam Peters deserves a round of applause for the way that they've handled this offseason. Adam Peters deserves a round of applause. Should take a bow for how they have maneuvered from a personnel standpoint this offseason. Now, is it weird that Ian Rappaport and everyone around the country keeps swearing that you want Brandon Ayuk? Is it a little weird? Maybe. Depends on who you're asking. But from a personnel standpoint, revamping the front seven, getting faster, bigger, longer, love all of it. Adding a real chess piece to the defense in Nick Cross, love it. Even as recently as 48 hours ago, bringing in Rasul Douglas, who from day one, when he steps on the field with the Commanders, is their most decorated defensive back, their most decorated corner. Maybe your starter, opposite track. Who knows how it goes? But the moves that they made defensively in combination with bringing in Chigakonkwo, drafting Antonio Williams, bringing in Rashad White, those things, for the billionth time, guys, all helped the quarterback. And as we continue to inch our way towards the start of camp, we're going to find out very early in training camp, right? Whether or not they need wide receiver help or not. Let's hop in the time machine and go back to last year for a hot second here before we hit the break. People thought I was being overly critical. People thought I was being hyperbolic, right? Last offseason, during training camp, if you're out there daily, it's very easy to tell that they needed help at wide receiver. They could not function offensively sans Terry McLaurin. They were struggling to get completions during camp last year. So you're going to find out right away this summer whether you need the wide receiver help or not. 1-800-636-1067. 1067 is the number. If you have anything non-Brandon Ayuk division, we'll hear from you. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. A lot more to get to, including the story that I mentioned a moment ago. There were the Jordan rules. We may be on the heels of the Clark laws. We'll expound upon that more next. This is The Fan. That was very sweet of you. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Thursday night edition of OT. We're going to get into the massive story out of the WNBA coming up here momentarily, but I politely asked that no one call us tonight about Brandon Ayuk. We got Novell in Oxon Hill. Doesn't want to call about Ayuk, but he wants us to talk about his former teammate. Novell, what's going on, bro? We got Novell.
Noble.
Not to be confused with an oval.
Noble.
Oh, like you're noble. N-O-B-L-E.
Yes, sir.
Look, brother, the boys behind the glass listen to too much metal music and their eardrums have been blown out. So you gotta enunciate.
Hey, but it sounds good. It sounds good.
What you got, yeah, first, man?
Man, I think we all right in our wide receiver room. We don't need nobody else. We are good to go. If they want to do something, resign Debo, and we be good because we can fit them in the backfield, slot, whatever, jet sweeps. We can do all that. We need to be more concerned about our defense. If we can't crack the top 10 in defense, we still got a problem.
I'll be honest, Noble. I would not hold your breath on that. You'd turn purple, brother. There's no chance in hell the Commanders will have a top 10 defense in 2020. I don't see it. Now, hopefully I'm wrong.
I agree with
hopefully
that.
I'm wrong, but no, I see it highly. I'm like, the top 10?
Like, I agree. But if they can, then we good.
If they have a top 10. If the Commanders let me say this, Noble, before we let you run. I appreciate the call. If the Commanders finish with a top 10 defense in 2026, they will make it to the Super Bowl. You can mark my words. I'm not saying that to try to ruffle feathers. I'm not saying that to get anyone. That's just how I feel about it. Appreciate you as always, man.
I agree with you. Wow. Thank you, brother. Love your show, man.
Appreciate you, man. Wouldn't that be something? If the Commanders finish with a top 10 defense. It gets me going down the rabbit hole of if this, then that. Boy, if they finish with a top 10 defense, get your tickets ready for SoFi. Get your flights booked. Get your hotel reservations. They're going to SoFi if they finish with a top 10 defense next year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I got to get to this story out of the WNBA because I think it's maybe fascinating is the wrong word to use. I was appalled. My chin was kissing the damn concrete. Some people say they dropped their jaw. My chin kissed the concrete. Couldn't understand where this came from. The headline shocked the hell out of me. Headline reads, a group of 11 Republican lawmakers led by U.S. Republican August Pfluger of Texas sent a letter to WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert on Wednesday, demanding that the league take, quote, accountability for, quote, multiple attacks against Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark. I couldn't help but chuckle a little bit. I'm going to read you the second part of the statement that was written up and drafted by these lawmakers. It says, quote, if discrimination or retaliation is occurring in creating a hostile work environment, we support any appropriate investigation by the Department of Justice, the Department of Labor, or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. If true, such conduct could constitute violations of federal civil rights laws. Remember when back in the day, and I'm not going to act like I'm some older cat that was watching 90s basketball, but damn it, The Last Dance did so much for my basketball acumen, my basketball knowledge. Imagine when Jordan ran into the Bad Boy Pistons, right? Imagine if, who was the president at the time? Somebody behind, boys behind, who was, when Michael Jordan was at the peak of his powers in the early 90s, in the late 80s. Imagine if the sitting president or anybody from Congress drafted a letter to the NBA, said, hey, he's up on this Jordan guy. All the, you know, the Bill Laimbeer clotheslines, the Rick Mahorn eye gouges. Tell him chill out now. We're going to holler discrimination. I thought this was a joke. Discrimination? That's what we're alleging here? Anybody out there, and look, this is the problem. A lot of people watch the W casually. I'm not the biggest Major League Baseball fan, so I probably watch more W games than the average bear. Has Caitlin Clark been on the receiving end of some egregious fouls? 1,000%. Without a shadow of a doubt, she has been on the receiving end of some terrible ass calls. Is she being targeted? Is the fouls being committed against her? Are they racially motivated? Are they discriminatory? Hell no. Anybody that feels that way is not familiar, right? Anybody who feels that way is not familiar with the culture of physicality that the WNBA comes with. They've been doing this. You can't, this ain't the first rodeo. You go Google it right now. The Bayou Barbie, who you all think sucks and gets made fun of and is looked at as some meme, just got selected to her third consecutive All-Star game, by the way. She got slammed to the ground a couple nights ago or a couple weeks ago, and it brought her to tears. This ain't nothing new. Is it acceptable behavior from the veterans of the W? No, I don't think it's going to help facilitate the growth of their league. I think it's kind of petty, but like that's the way that they handle themselves. And think about it from the old guard's perspective, talking about the veterans of the WNBA. Caitlin Clark, deservingly so, right, came into the league with a target on her back because of how good she was. And I think the veterans of the W became annoyed and quite honestly felt disrespected with the dialogue surrounding her game. Because this thought that she was going to walk in and be the best player in the WNBA, that is a pipe dream. She's not the best player in the WNBA. I think there's a real argument that she's like the 11th or 12th best player total. That's fine, though. Nothing wrong with that. But when you're an established veteran in this league, and here comes Caitlin Clark, the best thing since sliced bread, and she's getting all this media coverage and all this publicity. Yeah, there's jealousy. 100%. I think the veterans of the W are jealous, not just of Caitlin Clark, but of all the young talent that's entering the WNBA. Paige Beckers, AZ Fudd, Olivia Miles, you name it, right? Like this is, these older players are going to continue to get pushed out the league. And they're having real issue with it. I think it's ignorant though. It is, and it's going to hurt, to me, the ability of the league and the sport to grow. But with this latest letter that was written by these damn Republicans, she is turning into, right in front of our eyes, one of the most polarizing athletes in pro sports. There is no middle ground when it comes to Caitlin Clark. You either love her or you hate her. Clearly, her veteran peers in the W hate her. This is how the All-Star format works for the W. 50% of the votes come from fans, 25% from players, 25% from coaches. 85 players, this is trifling. If you're the W, you should be ashamed of yourself. 85 WNBA players voted Clark as the 11th best guard. Not best player, 11th best guard in the entire WNBA. If that doesn't reek of insecurities and just flat out not knowing ball, I don't know what does. 1-800-636-1067. Have you ever heard anything like this in the world of sports? If you're just joining us, yesterday, 11 Republican lawmakers, led by August Pfluger of Texas, sent a letter to WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert demanding that the league takes accountability for multiple actions, multiple hard fouls against Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark. Is this your, let me phrase it this way. Just give me your honest reaction to the headline, to the story itself at 1-800-636-1067. 106.7. We'll take a timeout from that. When we come back, let's get back on the gridiron. We've talked a lot about the skill groups for the Washington Commanders. I'll tell you which two position groups will determine and define success next year for the Commanders next on The Fan. About an hour and a half away from one of the most highly anticipated summer league debuts in recent memory, as we'll get to see the Wizards in action tonight. Their number one pick, A.J. DeBanza, going to don the red, white, and blue for the first time as they take on the number two overall pick, Darren Peterson, in the Utah Jazz. We'll get you a full-scale preview of Wizards and Jazz coming up in exactly 1 hour at 8:30 prior to the start of tip-off. I'll be honest. I got to be very, very real with you all. I am so eager for real football. I am so eager for real, meaningful football. No more evaluating routes versus air. No more this guy's in the best shape of his life. I can't wait until it's judgment day for the Commanders. What do I mean by that? I want there to be consequences. I want things to matter. We got to get to September 1st. That's why the offseason calendar is a unique, beautiful thing. Kind of like myself. This offseason calendar, though, they're report for camp in a couple of weeks. And even the first couple of days of camp, you don't really get a good gauge on what it is and what it ain't. Right? You're not in pads right off the rip. Then you're just in shoulder pads. What I live for, what I like to evaluate the most during training camp, right, is these fully padded practices. That's what matters the most to me when it comes to NFL training camp. Fully padded practices. It's very difficult. That's why I think the preseason is uber important for everybody, despite the success that some teams may have bypassing it. You cannot simulate football in practice. You cannot simulate a game in a training camp practice. Even when you joint practice, you can't. You know why? Live bullets aren't rolling for the quarterback. Live bullets aren't rolling for the quarterback. So, I'm eager to get to the preseason. I'm eager to get to this group competing against one another. But most importantly, the two position groups that are going to determine success or failure this year for the Commanders is their defensive line and their offensive line. Folks will try to confuse you. Folks will try to lead you astray. They'll try to mislead you. Despite what all of the fantasy gurus and wagertainment experts out there will tell you, football is a very simple game that's been played the same way for years. Bottom line is, if you are able to impose your will on both sides of the line of scrimmage against your opponent, you're probably going to win. That is what 2026 is about for the Washington Commanders. And their defensive line group in particular is the bunch to me that is under the microscope. When you go out and spend 100 M's on a Dafe Owe, got to produce, got to get to the quarterback. When you give out a one-year prove-it deal to Kalavon Chase, got to get there, got to get home. When you give free agent money to Tim Settle, got to be able to stop the run. This D-line is going to determine the success or failure of the entire defensive unit. Here's the thing, though. I expect Adafe Owe in particular. He's the guy to me that I have circled where I go, yeah, it's that guy that I'm looking for, right? Adam Peters in this fan base gets a lot of flack for, you know, the way that he has put together the roster composition. He constantly is getting put under the microscope. When you go out and spend $100 million in free agency, first and foremost, let me just say this. For basketball in the NBA and for football in the NFL, free agency is over with, man. Free agency is dead. Free agency isn't what it once used to be. That's probably what the old heads say when they're out of the club with us youngsters. The clubs ain't what they used to be. Free agency, as we have known it, is not the same. Good players, elite players, don't hit the market. Now, Washington, if you're going to make a massive gamble, if you're going to take a big swing and a big gamble on a free agent, Odafe Owe is the type that you do it on. An ascending player that's still getting better. 27 years of age. Coming off of a season where he had his second most sacks in his career. The year prior, he had the most sacks ever in his career. Odafe Owe is the guy whose light is just turning on, so to speak. Odafe Owe is a guy who's just starting to scratch the surface in terms of how good he is going to be. Just my opinion. I think he is in for a massive, massive year this year. I do. I have super high expectations for Owe and, quite frankly, the entire defensive front for Washington, because if they don't play well, right? Let's talk about it. If they don't play well, Dan Quinn, your ass is grass. Bottom line. If this defensive front does not get home, does not impact the opposing quarterback, and this defense is putrid, once again, it's going to be really difficult not to look at the head coach and throw your hands up and go, hey, what's up here? This is the group. This defensive front. Odafe Owe, Ken Law, Payne, Johnny Newton, Dorrance Armstrong, Joshua Joseph's off the edge. Look, that's the other part about it too, right? Because of the style of defense that they're playing, in terms of the edge rushers at least, you're going to have five different guys that play every week. You're going to have your two edges that you start with. That'll probably be Chaseon and Odafe Owe. You're going to have your first two off the bench, which I assume is going to be Dorrance Armstrong and Javonte Jean-Baptiste or Joshua Josephs. Most teams on game day, look back at last year. You're playing five dudes on the edge. So when Joe Witt came out last year and said, we got 17, 18 starters, don't laugh at him. He's being serious. I think the same thing is going to be the case this year for this Commanders front. They will determine success or failure for this defense, bottom line. And that's the way that it should be. I have a lot of confidence in the Washington Commanders offensive line. But when it comes to the national media, in their perspective, not as bullish. I'll tell you where the Commanders have ranked on a bunch of different offseason lists when it comes to their offensive line next on The Fan. Between Mark Klaus and B. Mitchell Finley, I'll let you hear some of that conversation coming up here as he divulged some very important details about what RFK 2.0 is going to look like and what cool gimmicks they could have at the stadium. I'm eager to talk RFK 2.0 because it's only a matter of time. The thing that we're most eager about, though, is will they have a good football team when it opens up? How good will the Washington Commanders be when RFK 2.0 eventually opens up? It's going to have a lot to do with the success of the offensive line and the defensive line. The defensive line is a group that everyone across the league knows has been revamped, has been reworked. They've spent a lot of resources to improve that group. They spent a lot of salary cap space to improve that group. On the other side of the football, right, obviously the health of the quarterback is massive. The health of the wide receiver is massive. But the most important thing to me when it comes to the offense is how this offensive line ultimately fares. And last year, through injury, I thought they played well. Last year, I thought this group was underrated by the national media. This year, the same thing is happening. This time around, though, if I'm being honest about it, I don't necessarily understand where the hate is coming from when it comes to the Commanders' offensive line. Warren Sharp, Sharp Football, right? His 2026 football preview. Yearly, he does this thing. It's one of the best previews that you'll get when it comes to the National Football League and giving you numbers from the year prior, looking at trends from the year prior to help you predict how this year's going to go. He ranked all 32 offensive lines across the NFL in this book. He has the Washington Commanders with the 22nd rated offensive line in the National Football League. For the life of me, I cannot understand how in the hell they got to this number, how they got to this ranking. You have an all-pro left tackle. You have a perennial Pro Bowl guard. You had one of the better left guards in the NFL last year, Chris Paul, in terms of how he played snap in and snap out. Center spot with Biadasz last year was meh. This year it's Allegretti. And then Josh Cotterly, when evaluating him, it's a tale of two seasons. He sucked in the first half, is really strong down the stretch. Right? Let's call it what it is. To rank them as the 22nd offensive line in the NFL, I think Warren Sharp is actually like a DMV guy, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know if there's, you know, him trying to get some extra clicks from this region. I know on social media, people were in a tizzy. People were hot. Rightfully so. Rightfully so about where this Commander's offensive line ranked. I'm trying to find the composite offensive line ranking. So what the composite O-line rankings does is it takes like six or seven different outlets, uses their number, and then averages them all out. And I think that's where the 22nd ranked offensive line ranking came from, excuse me, in terms of Warren Sharp. The Commanders' offensive line by season's end will be viewed as a top 10 group in the sport. I have no doubt about it. I love their five starters. I love their depth. I love their versatility. Say what you want, and this is why I get annoyed with you guys sometimes, man. We keep talking about the lack of weapons and what Adam Peters hasn't done for Jayden Daniels. This offensive line is bad ass in a good way. They've got legit depth. They've got really good starters. So in terms of like creating an infrastructure for a young signal caller to succeed, they've done that and then some. So the bottom line is like, hey, see, and this is where like if I say this, you all are going to be like, oh, no. But this is what Sports Talk Radio is about, right? We're thinking, we're flushing thoughts and ideas out in real time. A big part of me last year felt like you all were overly critical of the wide receiver position because you didn't want to levy out any sort of blame to Jayden Daniels, who, by the way, not a player on this roster under more pressure going into next year than him. Argue with somebody you love. Not a single Commander has more pressure on him going into next year than Jayden freaking Daniels for a multitude of different reasons. One, this regime, this coaching staff, this front office, they've got some decisions to make at the end of the season. By season's end, no matter if it ends in a playoff berth, no matter if they win 5 games, 15 games, or win the damn Super Bowl, at season's end, Jaden Daniels is extension eligible. At the end of the day, at the end of next season, he will be extension eligible, which is why, to me, there is not a player on the roster under more pressure. We've seen the top of the mountain with Jaden Daniels. We've seen what it looked like when he's clicking on all cylinders and is healthy. He was a top five quarterback within the NFL and had arguably the greatest rookie campaign of all time. So I know what it looks like when it's 75 degrees and sunny. Last year, what I got a glimpse of is what it looks like when you got to make a struggle meal. What it looks like when you got 72 hours till Friday and all you got is $1.25 and some baked beans. That's what we saw last year. It was inconsistent accuracy. It was not going through the progressions. It wasn't protecting himself. We saw what it looked like last year when he struggled. And some people are going to say, well, who is he throwing the football to? I'm so tired of hearing that lazy-ass narrative of who is he throwing the football to. The same Bammas he was throwing the football to all training camp, guys. Remember, Terry wasn't there during camp either. So miss me with that. Bottom line is, don't tell Kevin Sheehan I said this. He may have blow a gasket. Bottom line is, whether we all want to agree with it or not, Jaden Daniels wasn't good enough last year. Jaden Daniels needs to be better from an accuracy standpoint, from a getting through the progression standpoint. There are things last year that I wanted him to be better at, and he wasn't in the limited sample size. Now, what I can say is this. The reason for some of his shortcomings had a lot to do with the fact that he wasn't getting consistent reps out on the practice field, wasn't playing consistently. The lack of continuity around him negatively impacted him. That's okay. I'm not saying he's trash. I'm not saying he was bad. But the reality is the lack of continuity negatively impacted Jaden Daniels last year. So take off your burgundy and gold colored glasses and wake the hell up. I love that he's out in Cali working with the wideouts. That's what I want to see. You know what else I want to see? Him playing the preseason. If they make the stupid decision to not play him in the preseason, I may not be able to watch. Honestly, I may lose it. Like I said a moment ago, despite what you see Andy Reid do, despite what you see Sean McVay do, you're not them. Y'all know when y'all was kids, y'all would do something that y'all parents would do or that your older sibling would do. And they tell you, you're not me. You can't do everything grown folks do. The Commanders can't do everything that everybody else across the NFL does. Jaden Daniels needs to play in at least 2 of the 3 preseason games. And I want to see him for an entire half.
What if he gets hurt, Linnell? What happens if he gets injured?
Scared money don't make no money. If you're scared, go to a First Baptist church. He's got to play. You know why? You cannot replicate a NFL game from the quarterback's position in practice because he can't get touched. And if they as much as sneeze near him, somebody's getting yanked out. So it's uber important that Jaden Daniels plays in the preseason coming up this fall. It's uber important that this offensive line and defensive line live up to their pay grade and their billing. Uber important. Those two position groups are going to define success or failure for the 2026 Washington Commanders. In the future, success or failure is going to be defined by championships. Hopefully, by the time RFK 2.0 opens up, Washington will be right in the thick of the championship conversation. If they're not, this perk making its way to RFK 2.0 should help them get into that championship conversation. I'll give you the details on that next. Wizards Summer League Basketball on tap coming up in about an hour. 40 minutes from now, we get you a full-scale preview of the Summer League opener for the Washington Wizards. The debut of number one overall pick, A.J. DeBanza, as they take on Darren Peterson in the Utah Jazz. Super-duper excited for that. We'll get you a preview, like I said, at about 8:40. This is so funny. At the top of my X timeline right now, it says, at Paula Wood DMV. I believe this is James Wood's mom. Quote, James Wood is my sweet son. He's intelligent, kind, funny, and a hell of a baseball player. You know ball, huh, Miss Wood? James Woods, with an S, is an actor and a different sort of fella altogether. Felt like this was important to say right about now. Sure wish others were as careful about spelling as I am. Are people out there calling James Wood James Woods? That can't be a thing. That, honest to God, cannot be a thing. Wow. Wow! Shout out to you, Mama Wood. I almost called her Mama Wood. You know what I don't like? I don't like the bit that happens in Summer League where the teams have to, like, bring their basketball floor with them and, like, they put it down on this ballroom carpet. It's just nasty work, and it looks terrible. I'm looking at it right now. This is from Dave McMenamin. It's the Lakers getting ready for their Summer League action. They brought the court with them. I don't – and maybe it's not for me to understand. I don't understand how the ins and outs of that whole ordeal even works. Let's get back on task, shall we? Before we get into the Summer League basketball, I do want to talk more about the Washington Commanders in reference to something that is going to be happening in the future. Washington, as we all know, getting ready to open up RFK 2.0 within the next several years. And it really should be an exciting time for all of us here in the DMV. I'll be honest, though, right? Like, I don't know how many times. I'm sure I'll go a couple times for free. I hope. I'm not a guy that likes to. I'm not a guy who likes to watch NFL games in person. To me, the viewing experience of an NFL game is so much better at home. And even with that being said, with RFK 2.0 being, you know, on the way, the idea of being in a elite football environment, I don't take for granted. The idea of being in an elite sporting environment, I don't take for granted. It's so ironic. The PJ is behind the glass for us tonight. When we were out at the Elite Eight in the Sweet 16, it was the best sporting environment I had ever been in my entire life. It was awesome. If somebody could prove to me that a football game can create the same sort of environment, maybe I'd be more open to going to football games. Here's what I do know about RFK 2.0. According to Commanders President Mark Klaus, RFK 2.0 going to have a nostalgic feel to the original. It's also going to be very, very loud.
There'll be a lot of those kinds of nods to the past, right?
Yep.
Acknowledgments of the old RFK and trying to create it. As I've said before, this is your, I don't care where you're sitting in our building, you'll be closer to the field than any other NFL stadium.
That's cool.
We will be the loudest stadium by design in the NFL.
Love
and this
that.
Is going to be a terrifying place to come play.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I want it to feel like, you know, oh God, when do we have to go to DC? And that's what we're building, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I think there are going to be opportunities for everyone to be part
looking
of
forward to that.
Yeah.
You do a great job of interacting and engaging with fans. Like, I've seen it happen, And it's genuine. And
it's not no cameras or anything. But
I learn a lot, always. Good or bad, I learn a lot.
That's what I'm curious. At the next event you go to and fans are coming up to you, what's like the first question you're getting these days?
Yeah, look,
most asked.
I get a lot of, like, hey, I hope I can afford tickets to the stadium, the new stadium.
Aren't there plans for lots of different price points?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I feel very confident in sharing with people that our strategy is to make sure that we've got space for everybody.
That is music to my ears, man. Should be music to your ears as well, if you're a Washington Commander fan. I don't know how they're going to continue to unveil things about the stadium, but it's a pretty damn big deal. People care about it. For a long time, I didn't care about it. When the football operation sucked, then we had Ron and the Marty Party here making decisions. I didn't care about a uniform. I didn't care about a stadium. Now I have allowed myself to do it. You know what interests me the most, though? How do you accomplish part of what Mark Klaus said? Saying that they're going to be, no matter where you're at in the stadium, you're going to be closer to the field than any other stadium in the league. What do you mean by that, Mark? Because that's something that would get your boy to want to be at RFK 2.0. So I've been to one Redskins game in my entire life. Just one. It was 2019. It was the winter of 2019. Fall of 2019. Late November. Redskins, Lions from then FedEx Field. It was, unfortunately, the selfie gate game for DMV legend Dwayne Haskins, who obviously, unfortunately, passed away. God rest his soul. I had some really good seats. Now, I was on the Lions sideline, but we were so bad that year, if y'all remember. I had amazing seats. Like, was on the 50 and was honestly only like two or three rows up, like elite level seats. The first thing I noticed was, damn, the goalposts are narrow. First thing that got me going, damn, this is different. Goalposts looked like you were trying to kick through floss, honestly. Like, but I was drunk, booze, drinking, having a good time, my boy. The Redskins won the game. It was terrible, low scoring. Adrian Peterson was like the high man with like 67 yards rushing on like 23 carries. It was nasty. Even in a victory, I didn't enjoy my experience. Not because, I didn't have good seats. There's something about watching the game on television that I just think is different. And I would love to know, like, am I in the minority on that in terms of the DMV? 1-800-636-1067. How many of you out there prefer watching games at home relative to going out to the ballpark? In the NFL in particular, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I want to take your calls on that. Plus, we're going to get back onto the hardwood. We're about an hour and 2 minutes away from tip-off of Wizards and Jazz out at the Thomas and Mack Center in Vegas. It'll be DC's Summer League opener and the debut of number one overall pick, A.J. DeBanza. At 8:40, we will get you a full-scale preview of the Summer League opener. When we come back, LeBron James, LeGoat James, as I like to call him, he's a free agent for the first time in a long time. And let's just say NBA organizations out there leaving no stone unturned when it comes to his recruitment. I'll give you the details on that, plus take your calls on this. Do you prefer watching games at home or in the stadium when it comes to the NFL? That's next on The Fan.